Some people may say death. Some people may say, how many people are on death? Okay, don't raise your hand. But death, many people fear death. Many people fear seeing someone die. Sickness. Many people here fear Ebola. You should fear Ebola. Many people fear being broke. I know people who fear being broke than being dead. They would rather be dead than being broke. So there are a lot of fears that we face in our lives and that threaten our existence. I was thinking yesterday, what is the common denominator in all the fears that humankind may have? What is that theme that you can find in all the fears that we have? And after reflection, I think that I've found the common denominator of all fears, regardless of the fears that you may have. Do you want to know what it is? That common denominator in all the fears is the fear of losing control. The fear of uncertainty. If you take any fear, like death, that's the ultimate loss of control. Like you die and, you know, you don't know what's happening next. I mean, for us Christians, at least we have an idea. Because Christ rose again and he has told us that there is heaven. But physically, when you die, you lose all control. There are actually people who have decided that I'll be buried here, but when they die, other people decide, no, you won't be buried here, but you'll be buried. I mean, that's the ultimate loss of control. Talk about sickness, accident, anything, being financially broke, all of them, you can name any fear. And you will see that inside of it, there is uncertainty and the lack of a firm ground on which to stand. And you feel that when you get into a boat, when the boat leaves the dock and you are on the water, you're like, wow. You feel it when you fly. Many of us fly here. When you leave the tarmac and you are now in the air, anything that happens next, you're like, okay, God, at least when I'm on the ground, I can feel the ground. But in the air, that's the ultimate loss of control. So as human, what we have responded, the way we have responded to fear, is trying to reduce that lack of control or lack of uncertainty. So we try to reduce that fear by adding certainty in our lives. We bring science to explain when there is a thunder. When we explain it, we are like, oh, okay, so that's what happens. And we are cooled down. When you are financially broke, you get some money, you have a money in an account, you are cooled down because you are certain. Look at your life. Every area where you find fear, your response is try to add certainty and predictability. Because when something is certain, it's predictable. Humans, we don't fear. Now, there are two kinds of fears. There is the fear that I would call physical fear, where you are afraid to be harmed physically. Okay? So those are most of the fears that people say, I fear this, I fear hate, I fear this. But there's another kind of fear. It is the fear of not being enough and not accomplishing one's goal in your life. This morning we want to look at a Bible story and see what is it that can be our response in the midst or when we are faced with fear. When the world is trying to replace that gap of fear with certainty, adding certainty in our lives, we put seat belts. We put all the things that you can see, security measures are put to make you calm and be certain so that your fear can go away. So certainty helps us. But let's look at the book of Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to 9. and see what we can learn from God's interaction with Joshua, and see how, as Christians today in 2019, we can be responding to fear and uncertainty. Joshua chapter 1, we are reading verse 1 through 9. I am reading from the African Study Bible. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the river Jordan into the land I am giving them. I promise you, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. From Give Wilderness into the south of the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the river Euphrates into the east of Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to your ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. We have all know these verses. When Moses is leading the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan, they go meandering 40 years in the desert. And when they get to the gates of Canaan, when they are ready to enter Canaan, Moses dies. And God says, Moses, you will not be able to enter into this new kingdom. And God turns to Joshua and tells him, you are the one to lead these people in this land. Now, Moses, we know the meaning of the name Moses being drawn out. Some people are being drawn out of water. But the name Joshua means Yahweh is my salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. So Joshua is the same name as Jesus, like they would call Jesus Yeshua, which is the same as Joshua. It is the name that is close to the name Hosanna. Hosanna, which means save now. So instead of calling your child or son Joshua, you may call them Hosanna. Just imagine being called Hosanna. You know, it can be interesting. Hosanna, you come. And you come. So that is Joshua. It is Yahweh is my salvation. Now, the children of Israel have been walking for this promise that has been given to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 15. And for 400 years they've been in slavery, and they've been reminded that, you know, we have a promise for a land. And all the children grow, they are told this story. And I imagine Joshua growing up, hearing these stories that we were given in land, the land of Canaan, one day who will go to that land. And now, when God turns to him, he says, you are the one leading these people. Joshua, my salvation has come. Save now. Now, of course, in this text, Joshua does not respond. It's only God speaking. It's not like when God called Moses in Exodus, where there was a discussion. But here we only see God speaking to Joshua and telling him, Moses, the great, my servant, is dead. Now, God, I think, will be the worst person to announce someone has died. He just comes and says, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. It's like, okay, am I going to die also or something? So he tells him in a very solemn way, Moses is no longer there, but you are the one to take on the mantle. Now, in order to understand the weight of these words, we need to know who was Moses. Moses represented the connection or the intermediary between God and the Israelites. They have heard of God for many centuries, but Moses was the first time who could hear from God directly and tell them what God had said. So Moses had a central place in the lives of the children of Israel. He led them. When there was no food, he would just, you know, call God, and they would do a miracle, they bring water. So Moses was Moses. I mean, they could not imagine their lives without Moses. But when Moses dies, he turns to Joshua and tells him, you are Hosanna. Through you, I am going to possess the land. There is a preacher who said that Moses represented the law, and the law cannot get you to the promised land. The law gives you knowledge, but you need actual faith and salvation to be able to walk it. That's a sermon for another day. Now, what can we learn from this interaction between Joshua and God about being strong and courageous? That's our topic. Be strong and courageous. We need to be strong and courageous. But how do we become strong in the midst of all these challenges? I'm going to show us three things that will help us to be able to learn from Joshua and to be strong and courageous in our time. And I hope that these three things will be foundations on which we can have a point of reference when we are trying to be strong and courageous. Number one is that we can be strong because we have a promise to hope for. The number one pillar, foundation of strength and courage, is a promise. We see that in verse 5, where God says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Wow. Just imagine that you have such a promise. God tells you that what I'm giving you as a promise, I will be with you. I will never abandon you. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. That is the number one pillar of any person who wants to be strong and courageous, is to ask a question, what promise from God do you have? Do you have a promise on which you can stand, as Joshua here is having that promise? Now I want to underline something important on this pillar. He says, as I was with Moses. That is key, that comparison. So he is trying to tell Joshua, look at the ways I walked with Moses. Look at how Moses sought my presence and I responded. Look at how there were many challenges and I was there to take Moses through, as I did that, I will be with you. So God is not giving. Moses had a void, kind of void promise, because he had never had any experience with God. God just told him, go, I will be with you. But he didn't have a point of reference. Okay, what does it mean, God being with me? So Moses was the pioneer of the promise, believing in the promise without an experience of what it means, God walking with you. But here, Joshua, God does not just tell him, I will be with you, but he gives him a promise. He says, as I was with Moses. So he's trying to say, look at what I did with my servant Moses, and be sure that I will do the same with you. So that's number one, a promise to hope for. Do you have a promise for which you hope? If you have that, it will help you to be the first pillar, to be strong and courageous. Pillar number two is a mission to accomplish. A mission to accomplish. Some of you don't recognize that mountain. That's Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. If you've been to Kilimanjaro around Arusha, it's one of the most beautiful places you should visit before you die. I mean, I live in the DRC, but I can tell you that that place is beautiful. Now, if you go to this place, it's almost 6,000 meters above sea level. It's majestic. It's huge. And people who climb mountains, they do a lot of things to prepare themselves to be able to climb a mountain. It's a whole mission, an expedition, actually, they call it. They will prepare, they will put in money, they will put in effort, they will put in a lot. They have a mission to accomplish. Another pillar that can help you is this, a mission to accomplish. We see that in verse 2 and verse 6. Look at verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the river Jordan into the land I have given them. Verse 6 says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to your fathers and ancestors I would give them. Now, he gives him a mission. And that mission requires Joshua to be strong and courageous. Some people who lead people to death row and people who have been that, you know, have lost hope in lives, they find that the way to regain strength is to give people a reason to live. When you have a reason to live, you can withstand almost anything. We've had stories of concentration camps. We've even had stories of things that happened in the DRC. In some areas in the DRC, you need to have a reason to live, to continue living. Either for your children or for other things, or just for the sake of survival or perpetrating the humankind, I don't know. But you need a mission. Because the mission gives you the strength to be able to stand and say, I will be strong and I will be courageous. When you have a mission to accomplish, it requires for you to get the best out of you. So the first question was, do you have a promise? The second question is, do you have a mission to accomplish? A mission for which you can do anything to make sure that is accomplished. People face their fears when they have a greater reason to live. They have a greater reason to be alive and to accomplish greater things. Some of you have heard the story of this army commander. There have been so many versions. I was trying to find the right versions and I saw so many stories. This army commander who had got... I'll take one of those stories from Carter's, Commander Carter's in 1519, who went to fight and went to this island and decided to burn all the ships that had brought his army. Just imagine you come to fight. You are coming with ships, and he decided to burn all the ships. And yet tell the people, we have no way to go back. We will either die on these beaches, or we have to win the war. They won that war. There means so many versions of that story. So that means this commander gave this army a mission and said, you know what? Our survival is dependent on this mission. Do you have a mission on which your survival is dependent? If you have that, fear will not be an option. And lastly, we look at number three, a capacity to remember the faithfulness of God. Number one, a promise to live for. Number two, a mission to accomplish. Number three, a capacity to remember the faithfulness of God. If you look at that picture, many of us look at that picture, and I can tell that for 99.99% of us, we look at that picture as the one walking forward on that path. But I want you to imagine it as you have walked that path, but now you are looking back. Can we do that mental exercise? Now imagine you have walked it, you are now looking back. There were dangers in that forest. There were pitfalls in that forest. There were fights in that forest. When you look back and you see the faithfulness of God, even though you do not know what is happening tomorrow, you will be strong. There is this song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth a living just because he lives. So this person says, because God lives. So you look back at what God has done. Some of the things that are threatening us today, 5 years down the line, when we will look back at them, we will be surprised that we were even afraid of them. Just do a mental exercise. Look at maybe 2 years before. Look at what you were most afraid of. The thing that was really threatening, maybe your life, your career, or regardless. When you look at it today, when you've gone past it, you have a feeling like, okay, yeah, it was dangerous, but not that dangerous. Because when we look back at the faithfulness of God, we are able to walk. Now, I go back again to what God said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He's trying to say, look at the times that I rescued your people through Moses. Look at the times that I rescued Israelites. As I did that, I will be with you. Do you have any stories of the faithfulness of God in your past? When you face fear, you can remember that God has been faithful and He will be faithful. Now, I will conclude by saying, be strong and courageous. And that strength and courageous is not only empty words to say, be strong, my friend. You know, there's a time you have a problem and people come to you and say, just be strong, you know. Just be strong. What does that mean? But we see today that strength and courage is based on pillars. There is a courage of a fool who does not understand the danger. And there is the courage of someone who understands the danger, but knows what it takes to face the danger. You may go in an airplane, you've never flown a plane, and there are these turbulence, and you are just there. You say, okay, I know it's going to pass. I mean, you're just there. You don't know what it takes to have that plane navigate through the turbulence. You can have courage, maybe because you've flown many times, but the pilot has another kind of courage. He has a courage that is based in his knowledge of the plane. What the plane can take as shock. What the plane can resist. So his courage is based in knowledge, is based in experience, is based in something that is strong. It's not courage just for the sake of courage. And I want our strength and courage to be based on those three pillars. Number one, that we have a promise of God. And because of that promise, we can be strong and courageous. And there are so many of those promises in the Bible. Number two, that we have courage because we have a mission to accomplish. I had a friend in the university. He's called Kilimo. He's from Kenya. He's a very radical guy. He used to say, I can never die before I am 60. He used to say, Mwindo, for me it is impossible that I die before I'm 60. I'm like, why? He's like, I have a mission to accomplish that God cannot kill me. It is impossible. He's still alive. And he's not yet 60. So I know he's still going to be around. He used to say he can never die until he's 60, because he had the mission to accomplish that God cannot afford to let him. Okay, I know that's arrogance, but he used even to say that he can never miss a job because God can kill someone to get him a job. I mean, that's way too radical. But I'm trying to point at that extreme example to show you that when you have a mission to accomplish, and he did that one day, we were doing evangelism in the university, he's saying, you know what? If you are not a believer, if God wants to give something to me, he can kill you to give it to me. And people came to Christ, they're like, oh no, God can kill me. Now, this guy had a mission to accomplish, and he has a mission to accomplish. He's doing marvelous things with university ministry in Kenya. What I'm trying to say, do you have a mission to accomplish? If you have it, you will see your fears will diminish. And lastly, can you remember? Can you remember the faithfulness of God on your path? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we come before you this morning with our fears laid before you. And Father, we want to declare that you live, we can face tomorrow. We can face our fears because we have a promise from you that you will be with us. We have a promise that we can trust in you with all our hearts, that we can rely on you and you can make our path straight. Father, we thank you for the mission that you have given us to reach the world for you, to be an extension of your hand, of your mouth, of your feet, and to reach this world with love. For that mission alone, we want to live. For that mission alone, we want to wake up in the morning, charged up, and ready to accomplish that mission. And I pray, Father, for all the missions that we are representing here in this place. Each person with their burdens and special circumstances that you know very well. Father, I pray that these missions and burdens that you've given us will help us, give us the courage to wake up every morning to know that we will make this world a better place and that we will put a smile on your face. Father, we want to remember that we have come this far and you have been Ebenezer. You have been our God. We have seen you from generations to generations walk with other servants of God. And because of your faithfulness, we know that tomorrow you will be faithful. We know that our present challenges will be nothing. As you told the Israelites, the Egyptians that you see now, you will never see them again. We believe also that the challenges we see now, the fears we face now, we will look back at them and say, surely they have all drowned in the Red Sea of time. Father, as we walk this walk of life with our fears and challenges, we pray that you will encourage us and that we will be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.